We're happy to have one of our local pastors this morning to come and speak to us. He is not a stranger to most of us. We have been aware of his ministry, most of us, for some time, and we have always received a blessing every time that I've heard him speak. And I feel like this morning that you will too, as Brother Harold Brunson comes to bring our message. Brother Brunson.
Thank you, Brother Blaylock. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew, the 27th chapter. And while you're turning, while Brother Gates was singing that song, Must I Go In Empty-Handed, my mind went down to the Cherokee County Jail in Rust, Texas. Well, there's a little 17-year-old boy down there in jail this morning that will probably be in Huntsville in less than 6 months. Some time ago, on his first offense, one Sunday morning, he came to the altar. And he was weeping. He said, Brother Harold, I want you to pray for me. I said, what do you want, son? He said, I want you to pray for me that I'll get out of this trouble. I said, now, you don't want to be saved? No, sir, I don't want to be saved. I just want you to pray for me that I'll get out of trouble. I said, Randy, you got the cart ahead of the horse. And we prayed for him, and the Lord blessed him, lifted him up, spared him. But he got more serious trouble, and after the second trouble, I had the great joy of seeing the young man saved by the grace of God. But when you break the law, it has a penalty. So you pray for this 17-year-old boy that may be in Huntsville in a short time. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, I shall begin reading with verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Most preachers misquote it and say, I have betrayed innocent blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood. Jesus is the only one who ever lived that didn't have a taint of Adamic sin flowing in his blood. I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed, and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now, at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they were. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate saith unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto ye, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his precious word. Notice, if you will, verse 16. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. If you'll drop down to the 26th verse, you'll learn where the Bible declares that he released him, or Pilate then released he, Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. If you'll go to the 15th chapter of Mark, verse 15, you'll find this reading, So then Pilate willing to content the people, not content his own conscience or the own truth that he knew existed, but to content the people, released Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. If you'll go to the book of John, the 18th chapter, verses 39 and 40, you'll find these words. But ye have a custom. And one of the curses of modern day religion is tradition and custom. Amen. But you have a custom that I should release one unto you at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then they all cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Go to the third chapter of the book of Acts, verses 13 through 15. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the just and holy one, and desired a murderer to be delivered unto you, or granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up, whereof we are witnesses. And I believe, as we examine these scriptures concerning Barabbas, that there lies something deeper than just the name Barabbas. There lies something deeper than just the fact that Jesus was kept in prison and that Barabbas was released. In fact, I believe that if Barabbas had gone out to Calvary the day Jesus was crucified, he could have learned some things. Number one, I believe that Barabbas could have learned that he was a justly condemned sinner. And I believe every man who's ever lived since Adam is a justly condemned sinner in the eyes of the living God, and you are either a sinner saved by God's grace, or you're a sinner on your road to hell this morning. John 3:17-19, For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation
that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. James 1:15, then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Galatians 3:22, but the Scripture, not Brother Harold, hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. And had Barabbas walked out to Calvary that day, he could have realized that he, Barabbas, was a justly condemned sinner. And there was a time when you were a justly condemned sinner, and there was a time when I was. Amen. He could have learned, number two, that Jesus was an innocent sufferer. In Matthew 27:19, the Bible says, when he, meaning Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with this just man? For I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And if you'll drop down to verse 24, you'll find when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And if you'll go to the 19th chapter of John, after he had unmercifully scourged the Lord Jesus, in verse 4 he said, therefore bring I him forth unto you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. I praise God this morning that Jesus was an innocent sufferer. Hebrews 4:14-15, seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, that's passed into the heavens, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without what? Somebody tell me. Yet without sin. You know, Barabbas could have learned something else. Not only that he was an innocent sufferer, or that he, Jesus, was an innocent sufferer, and that Barabbas was a justly condemned sinner, but he could have learned that the innocent sufferer, and if you know anything about the grace of God, this will break your heart, that the innocent sufferer had taken his place. The custom was at the Passover to release one who was in prison. And Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and tried many different ways to release him, but to convince the people, they desired a murderer and a robber, a man who was an insurrectionist, a prisoner of much wicked notoriety, to be released instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. So had Barabbas walked out there, he could have seen that the innocent sufferer had taken his place. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24-25, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, By whose stripes we are healed, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Hebrews 9:11-12. We find that Jesus, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of calves and goats, but by his own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. This is the gospel story. To God be the glory, he just put himself in my place. He just put himself in my place. He just put himself in my place. This is the gospel story. To God be the glory. He just put himself in my place. Barabbas could have learned that the innocent sufferer had taken his place. Now here's where all Armenians leave me. And my wife, when I started to leave this morning, Dr. Duggar knows her. Some of you know her. She's a very beautiful and very charming woman, and gifted with wisdom and sometimes humor. And when I started out the door, she said, "Harold, why don't you go out there this morning and preach them an Armenian sermon and shock all of them?" I said, "Well, honey, I thank you for the suggestion, but the Lord might shock me, so I'm going to stick with what I intended to preach all the time." Now, here's where all Armenians leave me. I believe, had Barabbas gone after Calvary, that he could have recognized that he had done nothing to merit Jesus taking his place. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. Romans 9:14. For he saith unto Moses, verse 15, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Amen. Verse 18, for whom he will, he hardeneth. And we better believe the word of God that we have done nothing in this world to merit what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Romans 11:5-6. Even so at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, works is no more works. But if it be of grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. And if it be by works, then it's no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. And I want to tell you this morning, God didn't see one thing in Harold Brunson, Jim Shine, Edwin Crank, or anybody else to make us acceptable in the sight of God. We didn't do one single solitary thing to merit Christ's substitution for us on the cross of Calvary. The rabbis could have learned a final thing. That Jesus, the innocent sufferer, had completely satisfied the law. Now, I said to that 17-year-old boy yesterday that there is a principle of law. And that principle of law is that when the law has been broken, the penalty of the law must be paid by the breaker of the law or a substitute. Otherwise, the law is of no effect. Do you believe that? I repeat, the penalty for a broken law is that the person who has broken the law or a substitute must pay the penalty, otherwise the law is of no effect. And you could have never satisfied the law. Barabbas could have never satisfied the law. No living man could have ever satisfied the law. But thank God, when Jesus offered himself, he satisfied the demand for the law. Amen. Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the what? Law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Galatians 2:19-21. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen now, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness came by law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now the law had been broken, and the penalty had to be paid. And only Jesus could satisfy the demand of the law. And Isaiah said in Isaiah 53:11, he shall see God, he shall see the travail of his Christ, he shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. God will be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, not all, many. Don't take these out of the Bible, heard that? I talked some time ago to an evangelist who was privileged to go into the confines of a special room of an obstetrician. And in this special room, certain films were shown, and he wanted to show this evangelist the film of a woman's heart who was going down into the valley of the shadow of death to bring her offspring into the world. And in this air-conditioned room, while this woman was in heavy labor and delivering, her heart was photographed, and it would pulsate, and swell and pulsate, and this preacher said he found himself not only crying, but he found himself sweating. And he found himself praying that God would not let that little woman's heart burst while she was delivering her child. Now, Dr. Dover, exactly the same word is used in Isaiah 53:11 that's used with reference to childbirth. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. And I want to tell every one of you preachers this morning, you scout visitors, the president of this institution, and everybody else who's listening to me, it ought to break our hearts when we contemplate the fact that Jesus went down into the valley of the shadow of death to bear, if you please, our new birth pangs. Rabbit, why don't you walk out to Calvary and look up and see that you are a justly condemned sinner. Rabbit, why don't you walk out to Calvary and see hanging there an innocent son. Barabbas, why don't you stand there and contemplate the fact that this innocent sufferer has taken your place. And as you stand there and look at your stinking, vile, depraved self, why don't you recognize that you did nothing to merit his substitution? And why don't you gaze finally at the fact that this innocent sufferer who became our substitute, why don't you recognize that he and he alone satisfied the law? Our Father, there was a time when every one of us was a Barabbas. And we're glad this morning that we can claim by grace, not of any merit of our own, but of what Jesus did for us. In his name, amen.